What it do, guys? It's DeAnthony here, man, aka Hood Scout, back again for another edition of the Hood Scout podcast. And this is really a unique podcast, a podcast like no other. We're going to have athletes, we're going to have coaches, we're going to have intellectuals, we're going to have media members of all sorts. And don't forget, guys, to like this podcast, share this podcast, and help grow this podcast. This is not just my podcast. This is also your podcast. And the only reason it's going to grow is because you guys are going to be invested in it, guys. Sit back, get your beverage of choice ready, get your popcorn ready, get your dinner ready, get your steak ready, get your vegan meal ready. Tune in, guys. Hood Scout. Peace.
Chicago is the greatest city in the world. When people tell me they're from Chicago, I know they have the biggest heart of all. I started Good Foods in 2003 to bring good nutrition to our community. All of our vegetables and beans are grown in the Midwest by cooperative farmers who have been around for over 100 years. I appreciate the fact that Jewel supports us in everything that we do. They're an important part of our community. A few years ago, we partnered with Jewel to give away 30,000 cans of Good Foods, beans, and vegetables to the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and it was a great, great day for us.
We have some corn, avocado. Would you like a sample?
Our main focus is to let the people know we're the local guy. I really love interacting with our customers, especially during the demos, because you get an honest reaction. Chicago people are going to always let you know exactly how they feel.
That's really good.
The beauty of what we've created is that there's very simple ingredients, vegetables and water. No sugar added, no sodium added, and even the cans are BPA free.
I left corporate America to spend more time with my family and to start this wonderful business.
Oh my goodness, hey. That works wonderful.
It was the best decision I ever made.
I'm very proud of my dad and what he's been able to accomplish. We built this company brick by brick, and it's amazing to see how far we've come.
Hey, what it do, family? Welcome back to another edition of the Hood Scout Podcast. Today, we're going in a different direction, and a direction that I wanted to go because I don't just want this to be a sports podcast. We're intertwined in education, business, and all of those type of things. So without further ado, I got a business owner with me. Tell the people who you are and where you're from.
Well, yeah, man. Thanks for having me on the show. My name is Andrew Johnson. I'm the president of Good Foods, Canned Beans and Vegetables, based out of Chicago, Illinois.
Now, let me ask you this, Andrew. We kind of talked a little bit before we went live. I just found about your company not too long ago. Very impressed. We'll get lead up to the company. Before that, talk a little about who you are, where you're from, where did you grow up, and how was that experience for you?
Yeah, me personally, I'm second generation. My father started this company, but, you know, personally grew up in the northern suburbs of Chicago, about 45 minutes north. And, you know, I started out in PR and marketing. Went to Loyola University, Chicago, out here, go Ramblers. And I transitioned really from PR to marketing early on. And I worked as a artist management for a couple of years, you know, back when hip hop was just blowing up, everybody and their mom was rapping. I was doing numerous amount of things in the hip hop industry, club promoting. You know, there was just so much culture going on, you know, back then, that 2014 era. And kind of what happened was is in that time period, my father, you know, he had started this company, transitioned. Now we're talking in business. You know, he started in 2003, but, you know, for many years, you know, he started selling to the government. And so what happened was in 2003, after working about 35 years in the nutritional formula business, my father decided to start his own brand. And it originally started as a brokerage firm. And so he was distributing, you know, all types of cereals, jams, jellies, peanut butter. And, you know, a matter of fact, my dad is responsible for bringing in Ensure and Pedialyte into the industry in the early 90s. So he was part of the sales team that led that, you know, under Abbott Nutrition, you know, which is one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world, really. And so they're located up here in the northern area. So, you know, he's from Ohio. My mom's from Ohio. Deep Texas roots, though, too, funny enough. Everybody from Galveston, rest in peace, my father, man. I just buried him last month.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. And so we buried him in Galveston. That's where all our family's down in that Texas, southern Texas
area. How funny, bro. I never knew how funny that connection, because you way up in Chicago and got people in Texas. Like everybody says, small world. And let me ask you this. I'm going to cut you off. Yeah. This is fascinating because I love studying business, whether it's, you know, man, I'm reading all type of books, but, you know, studying business. I'm one of those nerds. How did it feel? Because it is rare. I want to say that too. How did it feel growing up with a pops that was active kind of in the business, had business acumen? How did it feel growing up around that? And you know, and did that kind of influence you from a mental standpoint?
100%. And I tell everybody, your parents are your biggest influencers, you know? And so kids, you know, I got two, they mimic what you do, what they see you do. So early on, I mean, my dad was traveling here, you know, it's back in the day, you get in the car, you have your little regional route. I mean, he was Detroit 1 second, you know, we go to Indianapolis, then he's back in Chicago for a minute, and he's going to Iowa. So I saw him working, just constantly working. And then whenever he did come home, it's like 1,000 samples of different just products and food, you know, because he was selling Ensure, Pedialyte. We were never short on baby formula, you know, him working for, you know, that nutritional formula company, Abbott Laboratories. So it was awesome, man. And I definitely took it for granted. Looking back now, I can say it's awesome. Back then, you know, it's your dad. That's all you know, right? Mm-hmm. As you grow up, you look at the climate, you look at the environment, you look at your peers, your friends, like, wow, you know, my dad was really doing something unique, especially, you know, in our community. You just don't see it that often, you know. That's like the number one quote, you know, comment I see is, you know, people have been buying our stuff for years and had no idea, you know, we're local or black owned or, you know, just the story, had no idea, you know, that we you know, it's family owned and operated, right? So, yeah, it was great. It was a great experience, very influential.
Do you think... man, this is going to be good. We're 5 minutes in, but I got a feeling it's going to be really good, really good energy. Do you think, where did he learn his ropes from? Of course, he worked for the, you know, kind of the nutritional side of things, but was that just a job that he applied for? Was it like, how did he kind of fall into that role? You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to take it deep. I'm going to take it back.
Yeah, I like it. Let's go.
My grandpa, originally from Jamaica, my dad's dad. He came over here on a soccer scholarship at 20 to New York University, studied pharmaceuticals, was a doctor.
Wow.
So as you imagine, one of the few black doctors, especially back then. Mm-hmm. And to this day, so what happened was he moved to New York, met my grandma. They had a few kids together, my dad, you know, my aunts and uncles, my dad's older brothers and sisters. And, you know, when they got together, had two babies, they then relocated after he finished school down to Clewiston, Florida, where he opened up his own practice. And to this day, he's still the first black-owned doctor, black doctor to have his own practice in Clewiston. They got his name up in the downtown area down there in that southern Florida area. And so I think that's really the patriarch, you know, my grandpa set the tone, you know. It's like, you know, if you see somebody looks like you in any shape or form doing something successful, I mean, that's for me, is the only motivation I ever needed. And so I think that's how my dad was. And so he has set the bar so high that I think, you know, my dad early on, you know, down in Florida, he was 7 years old washing cars, and you know, he was hustling, you know, it was in his blood. You know, a lot of people say, you know, entrepreneur, you know, they probably been doing this for years. So he had always been finding a way to get money, you know, and he, and this is while playing sports, the guy was All-American wrestler. And so what happened was, is long story long, they settled down in that Southern Florida area where he grew up to about 12. And then unfortunately my grandpa passed, and after he passed, they moved and all relocated up to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
And so that's where you kind of see a lot of our family right now, between there and Texas. And so he got the, you know, finished the University of Cincinnati with a degree in economics.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't know that. That's good to know, too. Okay.
Degree in economics with a minor in business. And, you know, his first couple of jobs, I know, was selling shoes. Okay. And then he eventually moved over to selling Colgate, and he was selling shaving cream. And then I know one of his last gigs before he started his own business was he was selling an aftershave specifically for men with coarse hair called More Unique. Mm-hmm. And so this is a guy named Dr. Moore out of Houston, and he was a huge mentor to my dad and to me now too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he kind of showed us, you know, hey, you can start your own business, right? You can brand your own business, you know, which, you know, it's all about education. People only know what they know. And so
that's
why it's important for us, our stories to be told, because, you know, once you find out, there's really no excuse, you know, to the possibilities. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad I asked that. I'm glad you answered like that, because what I'm starting to see now, it's not always, you know, got some people who come from single moms and stuff like that, and they make it and whatnot. But when you have that strong grandfather, specifically like that, then that strong father, it produces a pattern for you that I don't really think people notice. I guess I interview a lot of people, so I kind of see it here and there. But I was wondering where it came from. So it's like your grandfather set that blueprint for you. So let's get back to you, man. Let me ask you this. Where did the Texas roots come in this thing at?
So the Texas roots, so we have, you know, it's a Creole connection down in that Louisiana, Texas area. So originally from Louisiana, my great, great, now this is, you know, my mom's side. Grandma.
So your mom is, will be considered African American.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
My mom would be considered Creole, but my dad's mom, she had roots right in Louisiana.
Okay.
So that Texas, Louisiana area. So they kind of settled down that area. So she had moved up to New York to go to school, and that's how she met my grandpa. And then they connected, right? And so that's how the story goes. My mom is also in pharmaceuticals. She's a biochemist, works for Abbott Laboratories. So she's a program director, right? So they, you know, it's in the family blood, right? Consumer packaging, manufacturing, nutritional formula specifically, you know, and just, yeah, biochem. And yeah, so she was, you know, in the trenches, white coat, you know?
Yeah. Formulas.
But she eventually graduated, you know, with her business acumen and degree. She's now more on the overall picture, you know, from a 50,000 foot view. She's doing programs. She's, you know, directing and looking over projects as opposed to in the lab. But it all ties back in, you know.
So really, man, I'm not going to say you're a unicorn, because it does happen. But you come from really good, educated people. I mean, so your foundation is really so much bigger than you, because it's secured in your mom, your dad, your grandfather. Like, I think in some ways that's a little bit rare.
Yes, 100%. 100%. When you asked me to do this interview, I knew it's not about me, man. It's so somebody else can see this and know, because, you know, it's good for people to see that, you know, we all didn't come from the same background. You know, I was very fortunate. I think just like any other kid, you start to realize that as you get older, you know, more and more, you get more appreciative, you know, the solid foundation they laid, you know. So I had no excuse, man, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it was in you.
A little bit of pressure, but it's good pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, real talk. But you seen an example. See, that's one thing, man, that I'm noticing is sometimes the youth don't have either the example or the blueprint to know it's other stuff out there. Like, I'm one of them kids that weird. So I rode horses, I've groomed horses, I've done so much little different stuff that I know most kids from whether it be inner city or whatever you want to call it. Their minds are not on that type of stuff, you know. So I think with you, they showed you the blueprint. So that's powerful in that. So let's get back to you, man. You came out of Lord, spell it. Say the name for me. I know the university, but I feel like I got my
Loyola. Yeah, Loyola.
Yeah. Did you know? Now, we're having those educated parents, did you figure one day you might go into business, or was it one of them things where you're like, man, I'm gonna do my own thing?
It was definitely, I'm going to do my own thing. I knew I was going to go into business. I wouldn't have thought food, you know, 100% or anything to do with farmer. I was more interested in branding in the marketing side of things, and whether that be a consultant. I was really looking to be I wanted to be a publicist in Hollywood, you know, for
this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even along being an agent or manager. That life always fascinated me. Kind of what happened is I was doing that. I was working for Sony. I worked for Sony's music division in Chicago, Sony Red.
Wow. So I
was on the artist management side. Yeah, I was doing a lot.
How was that, man? Talk to me about that. What did you learn? What did you see, from a mental standpoint?
Well, what I learned is that the music industry, for sure, in specific, it's cutthroat, man, just like you hear. And but what I did learn is a lot about just dealing with all types of personalities, managing people. A lot. Number one thing I learned a lot about is branding, and especially just grassroots branding with limited resources, you know, just start artists that are just getting out there. How do we get them in front of the right audience? Who's the right audience? What's it going to take? You know, calculating budgets, even like booking an unknown artist, you know, in a tour around the country, around the world, right? I mean, I've sat up for many weekends and had to get on the phone, cold call folks, right? And you have to put a media kit to explain why this, you know, venue should put this guy up, or, you know, even allow them to perform at the restaurant or show. So, it evolved into that. And then at a certain point, I realized that my dad, you know, so what happened was my dad won a contract with the USDA. We're the first Black-owned company to be approved by the USDA for the WIC program. Yeah, Women and Infant Children program.
That's right. Big. See, people don't understand. That's where I'll say this. That's where the I don't want to say magic, but that's where it happens. I'll say it like that. The contract, stuff like that.
Government contracts.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, though, because it's tough to compete. You know, we were very fortunate looking back. I mean, we get bids almost every day, and my dad, you know, rest in peace, he would tell me, hey, you know, he would roll his eyes because majority of the time, they don't, especially a small business, not even getting into minority business, they don't level the playing field. But what happened was we were able to, with a few connections downstate, right? You know, it's a war out there, you know?
Yeah.
And nothing gets done. You got to be able to ask for help. And so with the help of a few senators, and a few, you know, local politicians, we were able to get approved. And so basically in Chicago, if you're familiar with the WIC program, Women and Infant Children, so, you know, women with ages up to the age of five, with kids to the age of five, can go in there and redeem products. But in Chicago, they have these food deserts on the west side and the south side. So, meaning there's no local nutrition. You know, there's no availability except the local bodega, which you already know what that's full of, just, you know, sugar and stuff that our kids do not need. So what we were able to do is win this contract with these WIC centers. So there's about 25 centers that are actually basically grocery stores. So you imagine you go into your local HEB and everything in the store was coming through us. So we call it the real good old days. You know, yeah. You can imagine we were everything from fresh produce, cans, milk, baby food, baby formula, anything you can imagine, we were supplying. And so
Now was that in y'all was doing that in-house?
Yes.
Oh wow.
So I say we started as a distribution company. So The distribution company is actually called Manufacturers Sales Solutions. And so we were a brokerage firm. We represented Jacobson Danish Cookies. If you ever see those blue tin cookies on the holidays, yep, that was us. So we all that we were getting a piece of. And eventually what happened was we won the contract. So we were supplying. Then at a certain point, my dad said, well, why don't we start our own brand? You know, we're selling all these other folks' products clearly and not getting enough of the sales, right? So let's do our own thing. And so what happened was we were just searching around for names, and obviously good is a common name, but we wanted to use it somehow to express ourselves and express our story and our brand. So which was taken up, obviously good foods, you can imagine. But our lawyer had an idea and said, hey, why don't you throw an E on it? We're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And funny enough, we have a great, great, great aunt whose last name was Good.
No figure.
Tying it back to the roots, right? In the Creole roots. So it was Good Day, she pronounced it. So we went forward, started the brand, initially went into all the WIC centers. And so that's why I always say, you know, we were around for 2003, but we weren't marketing until about, you know, maybe last 5 years. So we were in those stores and business was going well. And another government feeding program called EBT and Link, if you're familiar with that, kind of came along. So what happened was is a lot of these folks who were at these centers, they were able to now go to the grocery store in other areas, right? And so the business kind of fell back. And, you know, what you got to be able to do is adapt, you know, so a new buyer, you know, we had a great relationship with the buyer. That was number one. So, you know, it's all about relationships. And when the buyer kind of got pushed aside, you know, so to Good Foods, right? And this happens all day and night, you know, with retail, whatever business you're going through, you know, the relationships matter the most. And so in that same time period, this is now about 2018. We introduced baby food to the retail market called Pick Select Fresh. So if you look that up, we're in Walmart, Kroger's, Wisconsin and Chicago division, and Albertson's Chicago division.
I'm loving this, bro. Repeat that again. I want you to repeat that again, what you just said.
The stores?
No, the baby formula, the name, and just where y'all are in.
Pick Select Fresh baby food. Yeah, second stage. So we kind of have, unfortunately, another historical moment is being the first Black-owned baby food to be on retail shelf. Yeah. And so the second stage, so, you know, 6 months to a year, purees, but also WIC approved. And so if you asked me in 2018, and you asked me and my dad, you know, what are you guys pushing? You know, right now behind me would have been the Pick Select sign because the baby was kind of moving. Cans in general, if you know about cans, we didn't reinvent the wheel. This is a staple. There's nothing necessarily cute about it, right? Mm-hmm. And it was relatively a flat to stagnant category. But what happened was, as you know, this pandemic came around, and when folks started freaking out, running to the store, grabbing every roll of toilet paper, paper towel, they were grabbing cans too. And so we had sold out, you know, when the pandemic hit, we had sold out a year's worth of inventory in 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Right. So you can imagine the folks that were kind of ignoring us or throwing us to the side the last 5 years are now calling us, reaching out to us. Yeah. I mean, anybody you could think of, we had talked to in that time period, because no one can get cans. You know, there was no booster out. There was no shot. We still were trying to figure out what COVID was. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, that – and then, unfortunately, on top of all that, in our benefit, a young man by the name of George Floyd in Minnesota, in his incident, kind of stemmed this whole Black Lives Matter movement. And so everybody was looking for a Black-owned company to work with. And so the timing couldn't have worked out better for us. You know, we had cans, healthy, right? No sugar added, non-GMO, everything sourced from the U.S., Midwest specifically, up here in the northern peninsula of Minnesota. So we use a co-op of farmers out there in Owatonna. And, you know, basically, we grew about 700%.
Wow.
So we went from about 200 retail stores, mind you, I'm saying retail stores, to about, you know, 3,000, a little over 3,000 we're in right now.
Wow, 3,000. That's crazy. That's crazy. Man, it is so many different areas I want to go with this. And I'm loving how you're just carrying it, because as you're talking, my mind is just going. And when you say 3,000, what region are we saying? Are we saying specifically that north, northeast area, or is it spread out abroad?
I would say it's more like the central part of the central part of the country. So
okay,
as far north as Minnesota, and then as far south as Galveston, and then as east as Virginia and everywhere in between.
Wow.
So it's more Midwest, south, southeast region.
Okay. How does, and I was going to ask you something else, but I'll get to that in a little bit. How does the funding work in these situations? Because we know that, if you study business and stuff, a lot of times that the funding and all that is kind of a big issue for companies getting off the ground. How did that funding work for you guys? Was it strictly you got those contracts and that kind of helped you guys economically, or did you guys have to go through different avenues to get off the ground in that regard?
Well, great question. Cash flow is everything, you know. Fortunately, you know, my father had worked, and this is, and he'll tell you this, you know, it's good to, everyone's not built to be an entrepreneur. And also it's good to work in corporate America to get that experience. It's good to work for somebody else for a while, because A, you're going to gain experience. B, you're going to be able to get your cash up, save up, so then you can, in then turn, start your own business. And so it's, you know, private family held company, you know, since the beginning and to this day. So, you know, we're on the shelf fighting against, you know, these private equity firms, billions of dollars to spend. You know, I was just telling my broker, we were talking on the phone earlier, my Midwest broker, and excuse me, my little boy gave me something, man. It's going around.
Oh, man.
I got 2.5-year-old and a 1.5.
Oh, okay. I know how that is.
Excuse my voice, but you know, we kept flipping, right, and making sure you flow. You always got to make sure you got more coming in than is going out. That's you know, that's rule number one. Anybody running business should know that. But yeah, man, it's been a flip. You know, every now and then, Lord will bless us with a loan we don't have to pay back, but it's all been bootstrap, brick by brick, you know?
Wow. That's what I wanted to know. Wow.
Yeah, no investors. Yeah.
Wow. That's
where I think the brand and the equity in the brand has really been highlighting, you know, because you can buy your way anywhere, but is it profitable, right? And so that's one of the things I was saying about my brokers that we were talking about, just Green Giant, for instance. And they've been on sale, if you look on the shelf, for like 3 years, 10 for 10, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we go on sale for 2 weeks, 3 to 4 times a year, right? That's the traditional, you know, temporary price reduction schedule. And so, you know, these types of companies, they got, you know, holding firms. So they got 10 other brands they're making money off of. They can sustain that loss on Green Giant just to kill us and put us out of business, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a battle every day, man. But, you know, I love it. I look at it like, you know, you can relate to this. It's like a sport. You know, to me, it's a boxing match, right? They go, Green Giant or Bush's goes on sale for $1.20. Then we got to hit them back with the 99 cents. And, you know, they come out with the ad. We got to come out with something to combat that, you know? So it's exciting, man. I love it. I love what I do.
28 minutes in, Hood Scout podcast, talking business today. And I'm loving this. Let me ask you this. In the midst of you guys building, and you're kind of in some ways, you guys are in your own lane, kind of that one-on-one feel. But were you like, let me phrase it like this. Did you look at other minority owned businesses and kind of see how they go? Did you guys have, I know you kind of mentioned earlier, but you have any mentors in this area? How was that like? Or were you guys not really paying attention to others and kind of just focusing on trying to build your brand?
Man, we were focused on our brand. You know, that's all you could do. Because when you start watching other folks, it's good to obviously want to be aware, right, of the category and the climate. Which, you know, your uniqueness is what's going to set you apart, you know.
That's a nugget.
Yeah, you gotta do, you know, anything you do, you got to do it in the space that you would do it. Because otherwise, you're going to be a commodity, right? You're going to get looked over. And so we always tried to follow our own path. But I will say, you know, Glory Foods, which was originally Black owned and actually the first, you know, kind of the godfather of this canned, Black-owned canned vegetable, you know, category. Definitely, you know, seeing him, I know inspired my dad to say, okay, you know, and then unfortunately they had to sell out.
Who did they sell to?
Margaret Holmes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember Glory because they had the greens and the, I feel like they had a few other things. Yeah, seasonings, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
But you know, there's a lot of great Black food entrepreneurs, especially in the Chicagoland and Atlanta area, that they don't get highlighted for whatever reason, right? You know, the story is missed. The stories are amazing. I mean, I can tell you so many, you know, another conversation, but you know, that it's important, like I said, I wanted to come on here and tell this story because folks, they don't know. I mean, how you're reacting is how I usually get, you know, a reaction.
Yeah. And I think it's so important because, like you say, we just don't know it. Like I said, some of the things I know just because I'm curious, but even within, you got to search for it. So it might be a meat packing company here. It might be a sausage maker here. It might be a soda maker here. But it's still very rare that you don't hear those stories. And I think we don't hear them. Children don't really have nothing to look up to. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Chemistry. And I know somebody who was trying to make skincare products. And I have a little small company myself one time, but chemistry and all that. So when you started your brand, I know you said your mom was a chemist, but did that play a big part in the brand, meaning how to make certain stuff, or did you guys have to reach out to second parties? How did that kind of work?
It was definitely a combination of both.
Okay.
You know, meeting with a handful of co-ops of farmers, you know, we had to visit, you know, multiple factories. And, you know, our thing, especially being WIC approved, is very, very restricted as far as, you know, dietary. And so, you know, no sugar added is like a number one component for being WIC approved. So, you know, folks will pick up the can and see, you know, it's a little higher end priced. But that's because there's, you know, it is a healthier product, no sugar added. We have an all natural line with no preservatives added. So we do offer a couple of options within the line.
Well, and I kind of asked this earlier, but I want to hit on it again. Now, and I'm sure you can name them, but what specific stores are y'all in? Can you name a few of those stores?
Yeah, Kroger, Meijer, Walmart, Midwest, and then a handful of independent chains out here in the Chicago, Indiana area. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you guys, you know, y'all.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We'll be rolling out very soon out west and out east. So any folks listening, I know that's like the number one question we get is about, you know, distribution. And, you know, last year it cost, you know, $5,000 to send a truck out to California. This year it cost 10. So Ooh. You do the math, right? So I need to get into the shipping business.
That's a whole shipping business. It's so many little variables. And I like this business talk, but a lot of people might think it's boring, but you don't think shipping, but shipping is very, that's how the stuff come in. Do you think Cali is such a big market that that's really something you feel like y'all have to do?
It's got to be done. Even the East Coast too, you know, just being New York, that Pennsylvania. So we got, what I was going to say is it looks like we're going to be, I didn't know which direction we're going to go first, but from what I'm looking at now, it looks like we're going to be going out east first. I can't make any official names, but definitely look out for us to be in the East Coast by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. So, so y'all ain't in the kitchen making this stuff now. How big is your staff? And I see the sign behind you. Are y'all in like a centralized location? Like, you know, because you could think small business, you think, you know, somebody grandma making the beans in there, and this is a little bit bigger than that.
Right. Yeah. So we have about 15 folks on our staff, and then we outsource, you know, a handful of people from brokers, certain warehouses, you know, different accounting systems, payroll systems. But yeah, for the most part, I apologize.
No, you good. So I call you, man. So we'll get wrapped up in a second. Do you need to go right now?
The what?
You need to go right now?
No.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Where do you want to take this thing? You don't got to give your secret sauce because, you know, I believe in some stuff and amenity, but where do you want to take this thing on the branding side? Because that's actually an area I like, branding. How do you kind of plan to grow the branding side of things?
You know, we have some, well, I'll tell you this, we have a really cool new label rollout coming out that I've been working on, whole different graphic design. It's going to be friendlier, earthier, more organic looking. I think the folks are going to really like it. It's going to stand out on the shelf a lot more. So look out for that. That's going to be coming up, and we're going to be announcing that. And, you know, just continuing to push our story. You know, one thing we always struggle with is, you know, for the most part, man, folks that are buying our product are higher educated, higher income, you know, suburban housewife, you know, and that transcends race, whatever, you know,
African American,
white, Hispanic. But what we do notice for sure is that when people find out we're Black owned, there's a deep connection. And we see a great response to that. And that being said, everybody eats beans and vegetables. So if you look on our package and our logo, whatnot, our branding, we don't necessarily just call that out. You know, we're not screaming that out because there's a lot of folks who, you know, they don't care who exactly what color the person is, right? But then there's people who do. And so what we've done is just stick to the family owned, right? Family owned, that transcends any type of color, race, gender. I think that goes across the board of you know, how to relate to someone. Everyone's got a family of some sort. And so we're going to continue with that, just pushing the family owned aspect, pushing the story, being healthy. And, you know, we're going to be online a lot more, which is how you probably discovered us, continuing to work with, you know, great folks like you and your show and influencers. And we'll be popping up doing some demos too around the country. So look out for us coming to a city near you.
I'm going to tell you something that's powerful. Y'all are making sales, you know, growth is going, and I'm not going to say y'all don't have a footprint on social media because you guys do, but it's like, in a way, the beginning of it, like, you know what I'm saying? It could be even bigger. And it's like, I'm glad that y'all are able to do good right now, because it's like, if that's any indicator of the future, once this machine of media get going, you can continue to take it up to another level. Talk to me. What does your day look like? What's a day in a CEO day look like? And then how are you learning? How are you learning how to be a better business mind at this point?
You know, every day, so it's a learning curve, man. I would be remiss to say that, you know, my father passing last month hasn't affected everyone in the company, you know. Mm. He was, you know, he had a presence, especially in the industry, you know, been working for 40, 45 years. Yeah. And so, you know, right now it's all hands on deck, man. You know, he passed from pancreatic cancer. So, you know, nobody expected it. You know, if you ask him, he's going to live for another 30 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, day to day is getting up. Number one thing I do, to-do list.
Okay.
Every morning, write down what I got to do. If it's not written down, I rarely get through it. You know, whether that's on your notes, on your phone, just writing down. Me, I personally like to write it down with the paper. And the next thing I do is, for the most part, I'll either, if I don't screenshot it, I'll send that list to, you know, the team, because that's what you got the team there for. You know, to my dad always said is, we're here to make his life easier, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I try to embed that, you know, in our team. It's like, you know, if you guys are going to respect me as the leader, then you should, you know, we need to follow this agenda, and, you know, anything that I can't get to, you know, you guys will be able to get to. And so it always starts with a to-do list in the morning, and then I check it off. And then whatever I didn't do, you know, at the end of the day, I'll put that on the next, you know, today, the next day, you know, for that to-do list. And, but yeah, you know, usually, man, it could be anything from Zooms, from doing an interview. I got to go to the warehouse later, pick up some samples. You know, I talked to a broker earlier. I met with Target on Tuesday.
Big time.
Yeah, I met with Target. And, you know, luckily now it's a lot less traveling. But before, man, I was, you know, for instance, Walmart, I had to go down to Arkansas, you know, Bentonville, that whole dance. And, man, I was, you know, we started out delivering from the trunks of our cars.
Wow.
Store to store, man, store to store. You imagine I'm pulling up, because a lot of people don't know how the business works, but that's not typical, especially, you know, president of sales. Like, I'm delivering it, I'm selling it, then I'm delivering it, and then I'm making my own display in the store. And so we did that for maybe about a year, realized it wasn't feasible. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't profitable for me to be driving around. And so we pulled it out of the stores. And about a year later, we got a call inviting us down to headquarters to present the brand. So we told the story, and immediately the buyer was like, what? And, you know, he was impressed and very inspired, I think, by the story and just the fact that we were out there hustling like that. So he gave us, you know, the Midwest. And so now we, you know, we ship truckloads directly, you know, to the Walmart warehouse. Thank God, you know, I don't have to drive anywhere, and I'm just, you know, push a button and now we're in the store. So it's all a grind, man. It's all a grind, you know.
And I remember working in the grocery business, you know, seeing the specifically the alcohol people coming in. So they're coming in, shelving the alcohol. And like you say, I'm pretty sure they wasn't the owner. They were a worker. So to see that you were doing that, I know how that visually looks. So
really fascinating. So that's why you can't have the ego, you know. And it was tough. Sometimes I'd be like, Dad, why are you the CEO? Why are you delivering, you know, not realizing that we're a small business. You got to do. Mm-hmm. You got to do. My dad would work in a box, like, you know, if that's what it took to get it done, you know, we graduated kind of an office now, but in the beginning, I mean, he was in a one room office, you know, just doing his thing, hired his boy, help him on the admin work, you know, and then it just evolved, you know, and then at a certain point we had like built up to, you know, 15 people on the staff.
Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me where people can find y'all at, website and products, and then like, are you, because you look young, you look like you're around my age. Are you finding yourself learning?
Let me ask you this: What year did you graduate high school?
2010. Yeah.
Okay, I got 4 years on you.
Okay, well, you look young. You know they say black don't crack. Right? You look pretty young, man. I know, man. I figured you were around my age, but you just don't know.
Cool it down, man. You made my day, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like, man, you probably. So you're still young, bro. Like, you probably learning on the go. Are you one of these people? Are you reading books or listening to books or watching these seminars of other people? Are you just, like I say, just learning on the go in this thing? And then talk to people about where they can find you, and we'll wrap that up about 45 minutes in.
Man, every day you got to learn, you know. I read. I'm a big
podcast. What you read?
Big podcast guy.
Podcast, okay.
You know, for instance, one of my favorite books is The Sport of Doing Business by Mark Cuban. Short read. But it just shows all the trials and tribulations. You wouldn't have known that, you know, this guy's a billionaire now, right, on Shark Tank. And, I mean, hearing the stories, you know, him sleeping on the ground after college, right, for years before he touched his first million. And I tell you one guy I definitely follow for sure is on the marketing side is Gary Vee, if you're familiar with him.
I'm not.
Gary Vee, man. Yeah, definitely. If you get a sec, check him out on the content side and like kind of just the branding side. Very, very good motivational speaker too.
Okay.
But constantly, man, YouTube University, man, there's no excuse, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to go back to school, you know, some special, you don't got to go to UT or University of Houston,
yeah. Pay
$50,000 to learn, you know, if you have the dedication, you should be able to, there's too much information out there now.
Yeah. You know,
it's regurgitated. You got to filter it out. There is some trash out there, mm-hmm. but if you're willing to find it, man, but definitely check out Gary Vee. He's definitely got some great ideas, and his story is so similar. He built his dad's wine business up from like 6 million to like 40 million and they sold it. And so I've always been super inspired by him and his story.
Wow. That's good, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. And you can find us at Kroger, Meijer, Walmart, Fairplay, Caputo's. These are all Chicago independent chains, but number one thing is go to goodfoods.com and check the store locator and put your address in. You'll see everything pop up. That's in with
then,
your radius.
Then Good Food on social media, right? What social media platforms you guys on?
Yeah, Good Foods. Yeah, follow. Yeah, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and we're slowly getting into YouTube and YouTube Shorts and that whole world.
Now, dude, I'm gonna put you on the spot here, man. Family-owned business. I know it want to stay that way. You know, somebody come try to offer y'all a deal. Are you saying no? We're gonna keep this thing like it is, or what?
You know, I'll never say never, man. Okay. Never say never. You know, you got that. That's one thing I won't do. Is I don't have too much pride to know, you know, when to say no or when to stop. But man, I got two boys. You know, the whole thing about Good Foods, man, is never give up. You know, the mission is family owned and passing down to the next generation. You know,
big time stuff too, man.
Right, right.
Like that blueprint, bro. That blueprint, that family blueprint, which everything starts in family, in my opinion. That the son seeing that strong male role model, that's so important. So we're 46 minutes in, man. Giant.
If Green Giant comes in with a nice chunk of offer, man, I'm gonna be down the floor.
Nah, real talk. So I can say, gotta make if it make business sense. Hey, man, Andrew, man, let's not make this the last time. And I enjoyed the energy. I enjoyed this episode. I'm gonna share it on my Twitter, and I got a few different. I got a bigger Instagram page, so I'm gonna share it. And send me the links to your website. And man, 47 minutes of your time. Thank you, bro. Y'all keep climbing up the charts, man. I think this is just the beginning of it.
Hey, that means a lot, man. Appreciate it. And congrats on your show. And I'm going to continue to support, man. Anything I can do, let me know.
Okay, take care, brother. And God bless.
You too.
Okay, peace.
good. Look, convenience doesn't have to sacrifice nutrition. That's why our family-owned canned beans and vegetables are all natural with no sugar added. If it's good, it's good.